Welcome to the Sunday night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater and a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Welcome, Kelly S., a compulsive overeater from Oklahoma.
Hi, guys. I'm Kelly S., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic. Grateful to be here. Thanks for inviting me. It's always such a gift that I even have a story today. So just, you know, for the newcomer or the person in relapse, I feel like my story's for both of you, but especially for the people who've been around forever like me, to give you some hope, because you get to that place where you think it's never going to work because you've been around forever, right? So let me just tell you this. I came in when I was 20, and I'm 61 now, and I'm just a little over 2 years of recovered abstinence, so if that tells you anything. So it wasn't a straight line, that's for sure. You know, when I came in when I was 20, you know, I've always known that I had a problem with food. My weight didn't really start bothering me until probably, you know, junior high, high school kind of thing. Except even as a small child, I always felt different from, I've always felt different from. And, you know, it didn't help that I've always been like the tallest. I'm, you know, I'm 5'10", I wear size 11, 12 shoe. I'm just a big person. And so even as a young little girl, I would compare myself to others. So I always felt bigger and different. And I think food, as we hear, you know, that was my solution I ended up going to. So, you know, in a quick nutshell, you know, it's like I've done all the things that everybody, I'm sure, or most people have tried, you know, Weight Watchers numerous times, Nutrisystems, Jenny Craig, shots, hypnosis, you name it, you know, fad diets, all those kind of crazy things. And, you know, I don't know y'all about your experience, but diets work. They do, but I couldn't stay on them because the problem wasn't that, you know, there was something deeper going on and I didn't understand it. I just always wanted to lose the weight, right? And so when I was in high school, and I'd always lose the weight for the right reasons, you know, those special occasions, but that ability to do that got harder and harder. And, you know, I'd lose weight and then I would always gain it back with those bonus pounds that we hear about. And so, you know, when I was in high school, I'd lost weight for starting high school, and then, you know, I was getting ready to graduate. I was like 18, and I saw a movie or a show back then that was about the horrors of anorexia, because, you know, that disease was kind of just coming out then, Karen Carpenter and all this. And I remember thinking, oh my God, that sounds amazing, right? And so I started purging at that point, which opened up a whole nother part of my disease. And, you know, I started binging and purging. And finally, when I was about 20, my mom's been in AA and is still sober over 40 years. And she's 82 and she still goes to meetings all the time. But she took me to my first meeting. And, you know, at that point, what's so crazy was I was actually about 20 pounds underweight. I was binging and purging every day, several times a day. And I couldn't get out of my sweats and I couldn't function. And I always thought being thin was it, you know, I always thought if I could just be thin, cause I'd struggle with my weight so much. And so I went to OA because the truth is I had nowhere else to go. I always say that I'd run out of options. So I came to OA because who would come here, right? Especially when you're 20, I'm telling you guys, everybody was old. I'm sure they were probably 40 and 50, but they felt everybody was old. Everybody's old when you're 20, but, and bulimia was not out of the closet, so to speak, you know, people weren't talking about it. And so I went there because I didn't know what else to do. I knew that, you know, I was out of control with my eating. I couldn't stop to even do life for real. I tried to go to college twice and I completely dropped out because I couldn't get to class because of binging and purging. You know, I'd gotten into drugs and alcohol, went to AA and NA, and I've gone to essay. I think anything you can do addictively, I've done. But come to find out, I was the hard drinker, the hard drug addict, because for the sufficient reason, like the big book talks about, I was able to stop those. But I was never able to stop compulsively eating on my own. And so, I stuck around, but even in the rooms, I went and did other stuff. I just never left. That's probably the only thing I ever did right, was I never left. And so I always tell people that, those things we hear, don't leave before the miracle happens. It's true. But I came in and all I cared about was getting my eating under control. And so I used to always think, if I could just be thin, I'd be happy. Well, then I got thin and I wasn't happy. Well, if I could just stop overeating, I'd be happy. Well, I could never do any of that. Nothing ever made me happy. And so, I stuck around and I just wanted to do that. Well, I just, I always thought I was in and out of relapse, but the truth was, I didn't come to find out that I never even had recovery. So I didn't even know what recovery was, because I thought recovery was abstinence, right? That's what I thought. So when I came in, of course, I knew about AA and all these other programs. So here's what I thought. I thought there was these 12 steps, and then I thought there was this God thing, and that the 12 steps in God were going to help us stop eating. The 12 steps in God were going to help me stop drinking, or the 12 steps in God, whatever that thing was, that substance, that behavior, whatever it is, that's what the steps in God were for. And like, it took me until 2013, when I actually started listening to Vision for You and they studied the Big Book, that I finally understood I had it completely backwards for like 30 years. 30 years, What I realized, come to find out, what the book tells us was, is that I'm putting down the food, the alcohol, the substances, the behaviors to work the steps to get to God. Like, that's really what it was, and I'd always heard, and whether it's OA or not, but the message seemed to have been watered down because I was extremely involved, that, there's a spiritual part of the program. Well, there's not a spiritual part. The whole program's spiritual. And I never heard that, And, I always like to point out, my sponsor pointed this out to me, and I got to read it to you guys, because I always got so weird about the God thing and not wanting to freak people out, about it when they come in new, or when I'm talking to new people or whatever. I'm like, well, I don't want to freak them out and scare them. But in working with others, which gives us complete instructions right out of the book, how to sponsor people or take people through the work, it says, and I say this for newcomers, because I feel like you need to hear this, because I needed to hear it. Nobody ever said this to me, That when we talk about that power greater than ourselves, right? He can choose any conception they like, provided it makes sense to them. The main thing, and they put this in italics, which we've all learned means a lot, because it cost a lot of money back then, I guess. But the main thing is that they are willing to believe in a power greater than themselves, and that they live by spiritual principles. Like, they're telling this person, when you start to work with a newcomer, you need to tell them right from the beginning. Right from the beginning, you're going to have to believe in a power greater than yourself, and you're going to have to live by spiritual principles. What? Nobody ever told me that. And they certainly never say anything about spiritual principles. I was like, I didn't know I had to do that. And it's not like I was overthinking, I don't want spiritual principles. But I'm going to be honest with you guys. The first, like, gosh, 10, 20 years, I was having affairs in the rooms of OA, and not knowing. I'd get abstinent. Like, I was married at that time and having affairs with people in the program, and but I thought I was working a program. Nobody told me anything about spiritual principles. I didn't come in here to be better person. I know that sounds so crazy. I came in here for weight loss. For the majority of my life, I've been over 100 pounds overweight. That time I was underweight, that was a brief little blip. And the majority of my life, I've lost over 100 pounds 3 times in my life. And I'm currently maintaining 125 pound weight loss, and have since 2013, 14, when I first got recovered then. And I've been maintaining that. So the majority of my life, I've been over 100 pounds overweight. And that's all I cared about, was losing the weight. It wasn't about coming in to find a relationship with God, or be a better person. And I never heard that message. And that was something that I feel like that is important to tell people, that this is about a new way of life. And this, the big book says in here, it's a design for living. It doesn't say it's a design for weight loss, or a design for a better food plan, or design for get your eating under control. It tells us it's a design for living. And I'm like, I never never heard any of these things. And I have, this is one of the giant big books. I literally probably have in my home 10 big books. I have a baby one, a big one. I have several other ones that are falling apart. I wanted to say, I've read it, but I never studied it. Right. And so I've been in OA. I would lose weight. I did different factions of OA. I did See How, I did OA How. And all these things was because they were so disciplined, and I've always known I needed that discipline, even though I didn't want it, because I don't know about you guys, but I just thought I was like way too cool to be here. I still think I'm too cool to be here, but whatever. So it was like I always had this free spirit. I'm so free spirited, and my free spirit kept me in bondage. You know, it's like I didn't want to have to, do all the things that I do today that actually give me freedom. You know, weighing, measuring my food gives me so much freedom. Who would have thought, right? The disciplines I live with today give me freedom. But, I was just focused. So I'd find these disciplines and I would do this and I'd lose the weight. And I'd lose the weight and I'm like, okay, I've arrived, right? But I never ever in all the years I've been here had 1 year of abstinence. I would lose my weight and I'd be abstinent for a while. And then I think I'm, by my own self, I was Miss OA, of course, I was speaking on things and doing retreats and doing all this stuff. But I didn't have any kind of relationship with God, and I seriously didn't have spiritual principles. And my mother told me my whole life I'd lie when the truth would work, which is true, because a lot of that is I'd embellish and want you to like me better. And so, it was just I just didn't hear that message. And so in 2013, I started listening to Vision for You. And I get my dates all messed up. 2013, I started listening to Vision for You. And somebody had told me about it, and I would listen to it every single day, just obsessively, because I'd hear these people, even though I was like, what the hell? Like, they were like, first of all, they were calling themselves recovered. And I grew up in these rooms. You don't say that. You're supposed to say recovering. You're not supposed to say recovered. But I'm like, and then they started pointing out how many times in the big book it says recovered. Like, that's one of the promises. And I heard an AA speaker one time say, it's like doing the book a disservice when you say, well, I don't like that word. Well, it's in the book. If you really want to follow the instructions, that's one of the promises that we become recovered. Never cured, right? I'm never cured. I'm always a compulsive overeater, but I'm recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And that is the truth. And so I listened to it. And then they started talking about, well, there's instructions in the big book. I'm like, no, there's no instructions. I mean, like, for real, you guys, I have like 10 copies. They're all underlined. Pages are falling out. I had one rebound. Totally know the book. There's no instructions. Well, come to find out, there's instructions. So here's the deal. You have to read it from the beginning and go through it. Like what we would always do in all the meetings I grew up in and we did was like, you'd meet and we're like, okay, I'm going to the big book study. And then we'd all go, what do you guys want to study today? And most often than not, it'd be like, let's do one of the stories because they're a little bit more entertaining. Or, somebody would do like, let's read There's a Solution, or we just skip around. Like, literally, I had never, and here I am now by that time, 30 something years in the program, read it from the beginning, right? And so as I started doing that, it was freaking me out to find. So I had always done this thing where in OA, and I love OA, so I'm not trying to say anything about the literature, but I just always thought the steps were I would get the little pamphlets and I'd work them through there. Like they'd have all these little questions for each step. And I would do step one pamphlet, a little booklet with my sponsor, and step two booklet. And I remember one time kind of even thinking, how's this like working these in my life? Oh, well, where's the next booklet? Because I'm always sort of checklist, checklist. Like I thought I had worked all the steps. Okay. I'd worked all the steps because I went through all the booklets and I'd lose all my weight and everything. And so I started hearing this. So I'm going through the big book and I'm listening to Vision for You. That's the truth. I wasn't working the book yet. I wasn't going through the book. So I'm listening to Vision for You every single day, like obsessively. And at that point, I don't know if you all listened to it, but there was, less than 100 people on it. And there's only one meeting. So I do share this. You can go to a meeting every single day for 2 years and you won't get recovered if you just listen to meetings. Like I was weirdly obsessed with it and the special edition. But and I would for real, I was commuting then. I would for real sometimes because I, in and out of the food in those 2 years. I would eat on the way to work because I truly thought the only way, because it was an hour commute that I could stay awake driving was to eat. Like food. Can you say foods here? Okay, so I would get donuts and stuff because that was my thing, and eat donuts as I'm listening to Vision for You all the way. But I will tell you guys this. If you're thinking, oh, if I'm not ready to do everything, I won't go to meetings. Because here's the truth. I am so grateful. I personally have not known anybody, and I've been around now for what, 41, almost 42 years. If you are the real compulsive overeater that this book talks about, I've not seen anybody that's gotten it that's left. So, I say stick around and at least be where the message is, right? At least I kept hearing the message. So then when I finally was beaten into that place of desperation, I was in the right place and I knew who to call, right? And so I tell people, if that's all you got, if you can just listen to meetings every day, then freaking listen to meetings every day. I still do meetings every day. It's,
15 minutes.
that's 15. Thanks. When I'm doing food prep, when I'm at the gym, whatever I'm doing, I don't even really ever listen to music anymore. I just listen to podcasts or meetings. It's like that's what I do because my disease, it's either disease or recovery. There's no in between, right? And so then in 2015, finally, this is what my sponsor today says to me: the disease is the great persuader. So it's not anything I hear that I hear. It's not anything I'm going to say to you guys. It's not anything the best speaker in the world's going to say. It's the disease is the great persuader. That's what kicks your butt and finally says, whatever, I'll do whatever. I don't even care anymore. So I reached out and talked and called somebody, and she agreed to be my sponsor. And I went through the book for the first time, and I couldn't even believe it that there were instructions. And I know this is crazy to tell you guys, but for the first time in my life, I did the amends. Like, I don't know how I ever thought I did them because I didn't really ever do them. And that was life changing. And part of the gift was that was made amends with my dad, who I blamed for everything in my whole life. Like, I knew I would never, ever, ever, ever get over this stuff because I blamed him for everything. And I had total peace and forgiveness with my dad with that part of that. And it was just a story. And so that's just part of my story that I wanted to say that and then come back to that. So I had almost 5 years of recovered abstinence, and I was Bill, even though I didn't want to say I was Bill. I had arrived, right? Because I had been around forever. I never even got a year. And now I'm recovered, and I had a year, and then I had 2 years, and then I had 3 years, and I did have the recovery that the book talks about. But then I started getting further away because what they say is we let the gifts of our recovery take away our program of recovery. Because I got busy, my life got full, and I lost 125-pound weight, and then I started having grandkids, and I'm busy, but I thought, in my mind, I still get into that checklist. I believe that disciplines are strong; they're so important to me. To this day, I do a lot of disciplines, but I got back into, and so one of the things I would preach from a soapbox is, don't do this checklist thing. Don't do this checklist thing. Well, I found that I started back of the checklist. Somehow that made me feel like I was doing okay. Well, I'm doing phone calls. And then I said I was sponsoring. Well, the big book nowhere says we're sponsoring. The big book says we're taking people through the work, intensive work with others. Well, I had two people checking in. They'd already gone through the work. I hadn't done a fourth and fifth step with somebody in 2 years. But you know what? I don't know about you guys. That's a lot of freaking work. It's a lot of work to take somebody through that book. I don't have time for that. I got a lot of stuff to do. I work 12-hour shifts. I work full time. I've got grandkids. I'm busy and I do not have time for that. But I have two sponsees and I'm moderating Vision. I do a lot of service work. I mean, I'm doing service and I'm weight measuring my food and I'm getting further and further away from the truth, and I'm getting sloppier with my abstinent food that, always used to get on to people about. There's what, this is Compulsive Overeaters Anonymous. So if I'm compulsively overeating on tomatoes or chicken or carrots, you can't say, well, I just had a little, too much of this or too much of that. This Compulsive Overeaters Anonymous. It's not Sugars Anonymous or White Flour Anonymous, because people, I would say this, well, I'm not into my trigger foods. Well, that's not what this is about. It's my behaviors are every bit, a part of my abstinence, as the certain foods are. Yeah, I do have trigger foods. But for me, I've found it's my behaviors that get me slippery until the next thing I know, it's there's no, it's just gone. The boundaries are gone. on, you know? And I would justify it. I'd get myself into trouble saying, I'll get right back on because it's just a few extra carrots, or I'm overweighing. And I'm telling you 4 ounces and I'm eating 6 ounces and popping food in my mouth as I'm weighing, but it's not that big a deal, right? I'll get right back on and I could do that, which is dangerous. And I'm like, okay, I'm fine, I'm fine. And really the best thing that happened to me was I started one day of binging and purging, and you can't bullshit that, you know? And it was awful. I mean, it was awful. And so I left to go to the store twice and binge and purge, and I had to come clean. I mean, I couldn't lie about that anymore. And talk about it and drop some service positions. And, you know, gratefully that was the only day of that, but it was awful. And so we moved in this house 7 years ago, and my wife and I remember thinking, I'll never have to binge and purge in this house again, or ever in this house. It's a new house. And I did. The disease doesn't care about your commitments or your promises or the things you say you'll never do ever again. If you go, you know, for me, I went back and it doesn't matter. And I was binging and purging in this house that I thought I'd never binge and purge in. And I know I'm losing time. I was just going to show you because I went up through the trouble of putting my pictures on here because my top weight was almost 300 pounds. I don't really even have that many pictures. Is it showing? Okay. I don't really have any full body pictures. My hair used to be red. It's been this color since I was in my 30s and I used to color it, but I got tired of that. So that's me at my top weight. This is right after I went back to school. I'd never gone to college ever. So I was 39 and I became a PA, got my master's, and that was me at graduation. I ate my way through. So, you know, I have strong will. I got a master's and became a physician assistant at, you know, an older age, right? And all the way binging the whole time. So it's like it wasn't that I don't have, because if I, you know, I have willpower in so many other ways in my life, right? And this is me on my weight loss down. This is what's so funny, you guys. You know, when you're losing weight, you just feel so good about yourself, which you should, right? But you know, I was like, had lost 50 pounds there. So I'm like, hey, I'm feeling good. And this is me and my wife. And the red, that's me, obviously, in the red shirt. And then this is a before and after. So there's me and her. And then that's me before my hair went gray, after I lost weight. And then I just put some pictures of me and my friends in the birthday party and a plug to come to the birthday party if you've never been. It's every year. I love it. That's me and Melissa C. That's my beautiful sponsor. I adore that woman. And these are my two besties. We call ourselves the Three Amigos, and we got matching tattoos at the birthday party. And we've been in here together now for decades, and we are all in recovery and recovered today. And I'm so grateful for that. So, miracles can happen. And I can tell you guys that. And so, 2.5 years, almost 3 years ago, I reached out and asked Melissa or somebody else to be my sponsor. I started listening to a workshop. It's just a workshop called Recovery Jam. And it's the same message as Vision for You, and some, which is all the same message out of the big book. Nothing different. There's not a vision way. There's not a Recovery Jam way. It's the big book way, right? And so the message is there that we have to work the, we have to put the food down completely, percent, 100% black and white, and work these steps. Why? Because I have to get a relationship with God. Why? I can't do life. I can't do life, right? And Melissa made it clear, my sponsor made it clear from the very first day, you've got to get a relationship with this power. Whatever that power is, Kelly, this God has to be your BFF throughout the day. That was our first conversation, you know? And she required me to sit every morning in 30 minutes in prayer and meditation. Because if I truly believe what this book says, that this is all about, and it tells us, and we agnostics, that's where the thesis is, right? That the entire point of this entire book is to get a relationship with God to solve my problem. Well, how am I going to get a relationship with somebody I don't even hang out with? I don't know about you guys. I wouldn't have a marriage. I wouldn't have a relationship with my kids if I didn't hang out with my friends. You got to hang out with them, right? And so I got to start my day with God, or whatever you want to call this power, right? So every day I start my day with God. And I, the one of the things I'm really not good about, I'm getting better, is that connection throughout the day. I for real have my watch. There's an app you can have, and it's a prayer reminder, and it goes off like six times a day to remind me to stop and pause. I just put in the word pause in there and it pops up because I heard a spiritual acronym, pray in you spiritual energy. And so So I'll just stop and take deep breaths and do that pause and remember God. I try to remember God. It's kind of like if you've been around long old enough to know that, oh, should have had a V8, should have thought about God. But you know, so one of the things that I love, and I read this every single time I share because this is such a big deal to me. So what true recovery is, yes, we have to have the food down. And yes, as the definition of abstinence is, we are working toward or maintaining normal body weight. That's important, right? But what the big book says to us on page 19, and it means everything, we feel that elimination of our drinking or our compulsive eating is but a beginning. It's just a beginning. A much more important demonstration of our principles lies before us in our respective homes, occupations, and affairs. So, is how am I showing up with my family, with my wife, with my kids, with my coworkers? So, I can't just say, oh, I'm abstinent, right? It's like I have to show up different. And the only way I know to do that is to work these steps and ask God to help me. Because so it's that thing of like, so with food, for instance, I can make a commitment to food. I can get a nutritionist. I can go shopping. I can weigh and measure my food. I can commit it. I can eat abstinently that way, but I can't make myself neutral, you know? So I have a part in that. Thank you. I have a part in that. I have to do my part, right? But God's going to change my heart and God gives me the neutrality. So it's the same thing with the step work, and especially 6 and 7, right? It's like I can't ask God just to zap me honest and have a be a principled integrity, you know, live with integrity, but I have to start living honestly and make a choice not to lie, start doing loving behaviors. But God changes my heart when I take the action, right? And another thing in here, really, I had this, where is it? Well, I know what it is. On page 27 is it says, it says here and there, once in a while, alcoholics, compulsive eaters had what are called vital spiritual experiences. To me, these occurrences are phenomena. They appear to be in the nature of huge emotional displacements and rearrangements. Ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were once the guiding forces of the lives of these men, are suddenly cast to one side, and a completely new set of conceptions, motives begin to dominate them. And that's a promise. You know, you come in here like, wait, what? I just came in here to lose some weight or get my eating under control. Well, guess what? It's about a whole new way of life. And if we start to live by spiritual principles from the very beginning, start being honest, right? You know, start being a person of your word. Start doing the things you're supposed to, you say you're going to do. Like those are things that, you know, that were just foreign to me, right? And so, and all these things can come true, but I have to keep the food down first. I just want to say that. And throughout the whole thing, and be honest about that. And, you know, I just want to share really quick, that thing with my dad, right? So some of you may know me or not, I don't know, but like my dad passed away in July, from dementia. And so I got to be a part of his life, the end of life thing with him and my mom. And it was unbelievable because, you know, when he, as he was passing, and, you know, if you've ever been with somebody with dementia, you know, my mom asked me to come stay with her, him for a week last year, a year ago. And I was freaking out about it because I'm like, oh my God. Like she was like, tell me stories about what he's like at home. And I'm just like, well, that's weird, you know, because he was showing up naked. I'm like, oh, I want to see my dad naked. Oh my God, this is so uncomfortable. I don't, you know, it's like, ah. And so I went and stayed a week with my dad when my mom was out of town. They live here. It was the most incredible experience of my life. You know, I helped my dad. I would give him showers. He was like, one time he was like, he looked at me and all of a sudden he was like, thank you for, why are you so nice to me? He's like, I'm sorry for all the things I've ever done to you. And, you know, he'd go in and out of dementia and he's always a kisser. He would kiss me. And I had the most beautiful experience with being with my dad. And for the last year of that, I would show up for them and I'd be there. And that's that thing of taking action. I went and did it, even though I was calling people doing 10 steps and freaking out that I had to go with my dad. Found out it was the biggest gift of my life that I would have missed out if it hadn't been about, first of all, I'd done the immense thing, right? And then I got to be there and do the right thing. God, you know, for me in this program, it's like, yes, I'm abstinent, but today it's like, what's the right thing to do? Is to show up for my dad. Show up for my mom, be of service. It tells us that that's my whole purpose in life is to be of service, maximum service to other people, to fit myself. To fit myself, I want to talk about that because not what's comfortable to me. I want to do service because it makes me feel good, but I don't always want to do service that the person needs, right? sort of fit myself to be of maximum service to others. And so I had the most beautiful relationship with my dad the whole time as he was passing and being there for him. And that's God changing my heart. Like, it was a trip. Like, I'm telling you guys, it truly feels like, oh my God, it's like Twilight Zone stuff. I'm not kidding you. Like, I take these actions and it's true. God changes your heart. I've shared with people before, and I know I've said it on the meetings. It's like the Grinch, you know, the heart thing where he, on that cartoon, his heart changes. But it's like, you can't make that crap up. And it's like, and how would you get that? You keep the food done and you work the steps and you get this relationship with God, you know? And I know one thing I could not do without my fellows, because it has definitely been something else too, that I knew tons of people, but I never had real connections. And my sponsor back in 2015 required that I make these 3 calls a day, but I had to have connections. So I don't just check off the calls. I have to get these people and have this fellowship, the tribe or the God squad, whatever you want to call it, because I don't know how I would get through life. Because I've never, and I know all of us say this, I've always felt like I need an instruction manual. Guess what? Here it is. You know, tells us what to do from the minute we wake up all the way in between until we go to bed, right? And I'm not the only one that thought, why is life so hard for me? And I hear other people say that way. I'm like, I thought that too. I thought my eating was so weird. And, you know, I hear other people's food stories and I'm like, oh my God, they totally ate like me and did like me and thought about food like I did. I can't believe it. But I can't believe other people thought the same thing, that they couldn't do life just like me. Well, guess what? I thank you. I still struggle with it, but this says that this will, you know, God will match calamity with serenity. And it's a program, a design for living in rough going. And it's true. And guess what? The older you get, you can't escape calamity. My sponsor reminds me, Kelly, you can't escape the human experience. And thank God that I have my fellowship today, my abstinence, and my relationship with God. And I'm trudging this road with everybody. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Kelly.